Tonight, go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, we're going to be verses 1 through 8. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you bless our time together tonight. Thank you, Father, again, for the day that you gave us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for just, Father, the afternoon. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be, Lord, gathered together, Father, just among ourselves, among God's people. Thank you, Father, for the songs that we've sung, obviously, praising you and worshiping the Lord tonight. Father, the fact that you would come and robe yourself in flesh to live a life that we could not live, but, Lord, to live that life, to give us the freedoms that we have, freedoms in Christ. Lord, to help us, Lord, to get closer to you. We thank you, Father, we do have a relationship with you, and that, and Father, you do call us unto you, and Father, we can spend time with you, and Father, that you'll not turn a single person away that will come to you in faith. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time together tonight. The Lord, just teach us through your word. I pray the Holy Spirit would guide us according to your will, and Father, we thank you for all that you do and will do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Obviously, again, we're still in the Christmas season. We haven't gotten past that yet, but like my wife and I were talking earlier today, it just seems like when you hit November, before you know it, it's January. I mean, it just, the 2 months just go by very quickly, and life goes by very quickly because life is but a vapor, but God has given us every day. We do have enough time. God's given 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, 365 days in a year to be able to worship him, walk with him, experience the blessings of God in our life. And tonight I just want to remind us of some truths in Psalm 34, truths that will even help us during the Christmas season to draw closer to the Lord and to worship the Lord as we ought to during this time of year. But obviously every day of the year we ought to worship the Lord and draw closer to him. But obviously as David writes his psalm, he reminds us just in verses 1 through 3 that obviously we know that God's always worthy of worthy of praise. In fact, before I read those verses, go with me again to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. We went to this verse this morning. It's a verse that I really love, and I don't think in our Sunday school hour when we or the beginning of Sunday school when we read, when we sing songs together before dismissing to our Sunday school classes. I don't think we've done Revelation 4:11 here, have we, Dylan? We have? When was the last time we did it? Because I sure don't remember. It's been a while. We probably should put that on the next month, because Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 is just a wonderful scripture verse to be able to sing. And the Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Again, we serve a God who has created us for the purpose of worshiping him. He's given us free will, but he does want us to worship him freely. He wants us to have that desire to worship him. And David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who loved the Lord. He was a man that obviously wrote the majority of the Psalms. And in Psalm 34, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. There's not a single time in our life that God's not worthy of our honor, glory, and praise. Good times, bad times, through sickness, through health, whatever's going on in our life, God is worthy of our praise. He goes on to say, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You know, as we've been going through the book of Acts on Sunday nights, that's exactly what the disciples and the early church were doing. They were magnifying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even when they were threatened, even when they were told not to speak in that name, yet they couldn't help but to proclaim the name of Christ because their life had been changed. It's just a truth to remind us that the first thing that David starts out with in this psalm is to magnify and praise God, because God is worthy of all that we do. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our acclamations. I mean, he is worthy of us to just sing his praises and to glorify him with our life, because he's given us life and he's given us many blessings. And as, again, as we think about the Christmas season, what a wonderful time to worship the Lord and praise the Lord for his great gift in Jesus Christ. I want you to look with me at verses 4 through 7. We won't be long tonight, but hopefully these verses will stick in our minds and our hearts. I know that you do worship the Lord. And you know what? Before I even get to the next set of verses, the best way to defeat the devil when he comes knocking on your door and wants to get you depressed and wants to get you upset or wants to rob you of your joy, because the devil does not like a joyous Christian. He's okay with a Christian who's not happy. And he knows he can't steal your salvation. He can't take the gift of salvation away from you, but he sure does want to steal the joy of thy salvation. The best thing that we can do when we feel like the devil is picking on us, when we feel like the world is against us, is just to sing the praises of God, because the devil hates that. Because you remember the devil was a created angelic being that was to lead heaven in worshiping God. That was he was created to worship God. Yet because he was filled with pride, he was lifted up in pride and God cast him down. He was cast down from the place that he was created to be, to worship the Lord, to sing God's praises, to lead the other angels into worshiping the Lord. And now he wants to take that worship away from God. And again, he's happy when God's people do not sing the praises of God. So don't give the devil ammunition. Don't give the devil what he wants. Give God what he deserves, and that's the glory and the praise from a life that's been changed by the grace of God. You look at verse number 4, as we think about the fact that, you know what, we do serve a God who hears us, and I'm glad that God does hear us. In verses 4 through 7, the Bible says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Just stopping at that verse, the fact that when we seek God, we know that we're seeking one who hears us. We know we're seeking one who knows us, the one who has the answers to our questions, the answers to our problems, the one who wants to spend time with us, regardless of what hour of day it is. It may be 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if you've ever been woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You just felt the need to pray. You know, I am a man who loves my sleep, and I do not like my sleep to be interrupted. But you know what? When the Lord interrupts it, it's a good reason that the Lord wants to spend time with us. And there are many times where we do go to sleep at night with heavy hearts, things on our mind, and the Lord gives us that beloved sleep. He gives us the sweet sleep that we need. But then there's those times where, you know what? 2 o'clock in the morning, it's very quiet. It's very quiet. The only thing that may be stirring, and hopefully not in your house, is a mouse. But it's very quiet. You can spend time because the activities of the day are not there. Hopefully all the kids, if you have kids, are asleep. Everything's very quiet. It's a time where you can really just spend some quality time with the Lord. And again, many times the Lord will use those hours, the wee hours of the morning, to speak to us. And there may be times where we specifically seek the Lord during those times. And again, we're thankful that God does hear us. And that's a wonderful gift from the Lord. Again, like I've said before, the gift of God keeps on giving. Not just the gift of salvation, but the gift of hearing. The fact that he hears us when we cry out to him. David says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. There's just things in life that, again, things that trouble us, and God delivers us from those. God doesn't want us to be full of fear. He doesn't want us to have anxiety. He doesn't want us to be panicked in any way. He has given us the Prince of Peace. He's given us comfort. He's given us just peace that passes all understanding, and he wants us to seek after him so that we will become comfortable, will be at peace with him. And no doubt we're reminded from Psalm 46 that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Again, we talked about the gift of joy this morning in the morning service, but to have that joy, sometimes we need to find joy in the wee hours of the morning. One of my favorite accounts in Scripture, besides Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that I always bring up, and the second one that I always bring up is Paul and Silas at midnight. You realize at midnight they found joy? In the midst of a prison, in the midst of being treated unfairly, in the midst of being in a dark, stinky prison, chained, no way out. They had no idea what was going to happen, what was going to happen the following day, yet they chose to seek God through prayer and praise. They chose to seek God, and that is, we do have a choice. We can sit around and be sad, we can sit around and be upset, or we can choose to praise the one who's worthy. And you know what? As we worship God and we praise God, it does something to the inside. It gets our focus off of what has bothered us, what has got us down in the dumps, and it causes us to get our focus back on eternal things. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I don't believe that just applies to money. I believe it applies to all aspects of life. If my treasure is in heaven, if my hope is in heaven, if my joy is in heaven, nothing on this earth brings me great joy. There are things that make me happy, but to have great joy is to have our focus on our Lord and Savior and to seek the Lord with all of our heart. And he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me, delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. What troubles did the Lord save David out of? All of them. All of them. You know, David had a great testimony. He talked about when he was a shepherd boy and he was defending his father's flock from a bear and a lion, how God gave him victory. That was a huge problem. He was facing something stronger and bigger than him. Now, I've never come face to face with a bear or a lion other than at the zoo. And I'm glad that they're in their cages. But, you know, when you think about facing these predators in the wild, you can't help but to think, man, how in the world did David have such courage? Because if it were not true, God would not have had it recorded in his word that David slayed. He slew. He killed both of those wild beasts. God gave him the courage and God gave him the victory. And you think about the Bible talks about in 1 Peter chapter 5, if you'll turn there. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, and you look at verse number 8. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You know, David faced a literal lion, but he also faced a spiritual lion in his life. We all face that spiritual lion. We all face the devil, the one who does want to devour us with fear, devour us with doubt, devour us with unfaithfulness, devour us with the what ifs, not trusting the Lord, not leaning upon the Lord. He wants to devour our joy and our praise. But God says in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith? Whom resist steadfast in the faith? The best way that you and I can resist the devil is by singing God's praise and seeking after God. Never run from God, run to God. Too many Christians run away from God instead of running to God. God should be the first one that we run to when we hear that lion coming around, when we feel the devil coming to pick on us, and we feel ourselves being drawn away from the presence of the Lord, drawing away from the comfort and the peace of God. Again, Paul and Silas chose to sing God's praise. And don't you know that God showed up in a very great way? God always shows up on our behalf. If we will seek the Lord with all of our heart and we will sing his praise, we will find that God is a very present help in trouble. He is always right there. When you look at verses 8 through 10 of Psalm 34, the Bible says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And oh, how a truth that is. Every single person that will trust in the Lord, no matter what it is, will find the blessing of the Lord. If you have tasted and you have seen that the Lord is good in your life, then you know the best thing to do is to always trust the Lord. Again, no matter what happens in life, good or bad, we should always trust the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, and these are not verses you do not know. These are verses that you do know, and these are verses that are very helpful in time of need. They're verses that are good to think about even when there is no need. Just the fact that God deserves our praise, not just because he does good for us, but because he's worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. Again, as we think about just that first night where the shepherds came, and they came and they looked into the face of Christ as he was laying there in the manger and walked away and told everybody what they heard and saw. You know what? Again, you have the greatest testimony because your life has been changed by Christ. That should be something we speak about every day. Every day we wake up should be another day of worship, another day of glorifying God, because he's given us another day not only to live for him, but another day to enjoy the presence of the Lord, to enjoy our walk with the Lord. But as far as trusting, as he says, O taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You're very familiar with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I believe that all goes right back to Psalm 34:1, because if we're trusting the Lord at all times, if our heart is truly trusting the Lord and we're allowing the peace of God to rule in our heart, and we're hiding God's word in our heart, and we're trusting the Lord, it will put us right back to where we praise the Lord. Again, when you think about Paul and Silas, they were simply trusting the Lord. When you go through Scripture, you see God's people trusting the Lord. But you also see some of God's people not trusting the Lord, and they have nothing to praise the Lord about. They have nothing to worship the Lord about because their focus is not on the Lord, but on the situation that they're facing, their discomfort. They're focused on everything but the Lord. Remember what caused God's people not to go in the promised land. Because when you think about your life, you can compare your life to the children of Israel being in slavery for 430 years and God bringing them out with a great and mighty hand. God doing only what he could do, having those 10 plagues come against Egypt, and God protected his people. He brings them out. He blesses them as they spoil the Egyptians when they leave. He brings them across the Red Sea. He parts the Red Sea. He leads them through the desert. He leads them by a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day. They could literally, physically see the Shekinah glory of God guiding them. And we have the glory of God guiding us every day as the Holy Spirit is within every believer. But as you look at, there were those that fully trusted the Lord. You know, you think about Caleb and Joshua. They were not moved from their faith, even though eight other men caused all of the people to not trust God. What would cause us, what would cause you not to trust God, not to keep following God, not to keep trusting God? Nothing should cause us to stop trusting God, to stop following God, to stop worshiping God, because God has brought us out with a great and mighty hand as he brought us out of bondage. He redeemed us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and he's given us the power to become the sons of God, that we are heirs with God, joint heirs with Christ, that every single one of us are precious in the eyes of the Lord, and he's given us of his Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to comfort us. Again, there will be those, there will be Christians who are not fully trusting the Lord and who will try to convince you at times that it's not worth it. You see it through Scripture. Again, eight men caused God's people not to trust. They magnified the giants above God. If there is someone that professes to be a Christian and professes to be a believer in Christ, yet they magnify the troubles of life above God, they're not truly trusting God. They don't truly have Christ as the center of their life. They may be saved. Only God knows if they are or not, but they're not trusting in the Lord. And I believe that is a spirit of antichrist, as it causes others not to trust in Jesus Christ and trust in the ways of God. Again, when you look back, God does hear us when we call upon him. O taste and see if the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. There's no lack. You've never lacked anything in your life. And you might go, Pastor, I can name a list of things that I don't have. There are things in our life that we want that we don't have. But you've never lacked because of God. God meets every spiritual need that we have. And every physical need, God will meet those needs. Yes, we can probably make a list of things we don't have, but that does not mean that that's in the will of God. God hears his people. And in the time and in the season we're in, prayer should be the number one thing in our life. It should not be something that is reserved for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And Daniel prayed three times a day, and the Bible tells us, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray. What kept Daniel from bowing the knee to the gods of his day? What kept Daniel from not being, what kept Daniel from not being faithful to his God, even when he was faced with a den of lions? But it was his trust in God. It was his relationship in God. He worshiped God. Again, when you think about just those that are in Scripture that we get to read about, and how Daniel was faced with a decision, either bow the knee to the king's decree and don't pray to God and live, or be faithful to your God and be cast into a den of lions. Well, that Daniel did not have to decide. He didn't have to go, well, let's see, which is better. Right off the bat, he knew. He went straight home, opened his windows, and prayed as he always had done. What I'm saying is, God is worthy of our praise, and he's worthy to be sought every day of our life, not just when things are going good, not just when things are going bad, but every day seeking the Lord, because, believe it or not, our relationship with God affects other people. And how we respond to God will cause somebody else to respond in the right way or the wrong way. And honestly, nobody really wants that responsibility. Well, why am I responsible for how someone else responds to the Lord? Those eight men caused an entire nation to rebel against their God, and they all died in the desert, except for the younger generation that grew up and followed Joshua and Caleb into the promised land. What I'm saying is, we do have to be mindful of who's around us, We do have to be mindful of our testimony. Our testimony can help the way that we respond to God, the way that we act at work, the way we act around family members and friends can cause someone to either want what we have or not want what we have. We have to praise the Lord. And I believe as David starts off with praising God and worshiping God, that will help us to stay on the right track. It'll help us to stay on the straight and narrow track with the right set, the right frame, the right heart, the right spirit, because we do it because God is good. Look at Psalm 34 again and look at, let's see here. I guess look at verse 8 again. I may have gotten off track or repeated a couple of things, but you think about just verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. We do serve a God that is good. When has God ever been wrong in our life? When has God ever treated you wrong? Never. Never, 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 never. He's never treated you wrong. He's always been good. And God is worthy of our praise because he is good. You know what? Never get over your salvation. Never get over the fact that you have a relationship with the God of heaven. Never get over the fact that you can talk to the God of heaven and he has time for you. It's a wonderful thing that he does have time. Sometimes I have to remind people, though, that God wants to hear from you. Because sometimes, you know, we do. When you think about God, you do think, as David even said one time, he said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Lord, I'm just a little speck in this world. I mean, why are you taking time for me? I know you've got bigger things to do." But that's the big thing that God wants to do, is spend time with each individual, to have that relationship, to show his goodness in our life, to help us to see that we'll never lack anything when we're with the Lord. And when you think about the end of verse 10, "But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." You will not lack. God is on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? We do serve a good God who's worthy of our praise, who's worthy of our worship. And praise the Lord, he does hear us when we cry out to him. And I'm thankful that, you know what? He knows what we say, what we're going to say before we say it. I'm glad that he already has the answer when we come to him. I'm glad that when we go to him in prayer and we come to him with a trusting heart, that the Lord is right there to help us. I love the fact there are many things in the Bible I love, and there are things I would like to see how it actually happened and physically look at it. But I can't, you know, nobody likes persecution. I personally don't, you know, pray for persecution. I always pray for a good day, and Lord, you know, help me have a good day with no problems. And the Lord always says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Well, here it comes. But you know what? God's grace is good, and God's grace is enough. I think about Stephen. What encouraged him in the biggest trial of his life when he was facing death? To look up, as the Bible records, to see the heavens opened and Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father. Standing on the behalf of Stephen. Because we have an advocate who stands with us. You have a Savior who stands by your side to encourage you in the tough times. A Savior who stands by your side to help you to worship, to help you to be encouraged. We like it when there's someone who can come alongside us and encourage us. I've had many people in my lifetime come alongside me and encourage me. Not just spiritually, but also, I don't want to use the word worldly, but there's been times in my life where it had, I almost have to say, you know, God orchestrated, and God, you know what? God can use anybody to encourage you. He can use anybody to encourage you. And there are times in your life where God will use someone who may necessarily not be a born-again believer, but they see your faith, and the best that they can, they try to encourage you in your God. King Darius, when he knew that Daniel was condemned, because of his own foolishness. And he tried to get Daniel from not being thrown in a lion's den. And those wicked men said, you cannot change the decree. Once it's signed, you can't change it. Though King Darius tried his best to figure a way out, yet the best he could do, he encouraged Daniel in saying, your God whom you serve can deliver you. Because he had seen Daniel's faith. There are times in our life where we do need encouragement, and God will use people that we don't expect to be used to remind us that we do have a God in heaven that will help us. Again, it may be another brother or sister in Christ who comes alongside and God allows them to see, not knowing what the issues may be, but just see that there's something wrong. There's somebody who needs encouragement. Can I say this? Always be ready to be used by God. There's somebody that needs encouragement. There's somebody that needs to be prayed with or prayed for. And another way that we can worship God and glorify God is by helping others. Helping others to know that there is a God in heaven. Reminding some of God's people that they do have a Savior who's there for them. Again, I know that Stephen was encouraged greatly to look up and to see Christ standing. And he was able to face his death with faith. But he was also able to say this of his enemies: lay not this sin to their charge. You know what? When we are properly worshiping and glorifying God and trusting God and walking with God, we can say of our enemies, Father, forgive them. Lord, would you bless them? Lord, would you open their eyes to the truth? Again, as I think about Paul and Silas singing and praising God at midnight, their testimony, their voices being heard, caused a Philippian jailer to get saved. Caused a Philippian jailer to come in, a Philippian jailer who was about to commit suicide. And Paul cried out, do thyself no harm. And the Bible records that he comes springing in with the light, falling down at Paul's feet and asking, what must I do to be saved? Asking basically of the hope that lied within Paul. What is it? I need what you have. Because think about this. Often we think about Paul and Silas singing and praising at midnight, and we think about the earthquake that caused all the jail doors to open and all that, but think about the fact. Here was a man who probably was very cruel to Paul and Silas as he was given the charge to keep them in prison. And as the Bible says, he thrust them into the innermost part of the prison, fastening their feet in the stock. I mean, now I'm sure not being gentle. I'm sure not being kind. And yet Paul had a sweet spirit. That when Paul knew, and I don't know, the Bible doesn't say whether Paul could see through the door because the door was open now, or if Paul could just hear the sword coming out of the sheath and he knew what was about to happen, or whether God spoke to him. However Paul knew, Paul cried out to his enemy, do thyself no harm. To somebody who had mistreated him, Paul helped save his life. Because you know what? When we have the proper worship of God and we are walking and trusting with the Lord, we do have a heart for those that are hurting. We have a heart for those that may be against us. We have a heart for them and want them to come to know the same God that we know and love, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you look at verses 11 through 16, the Bible says, come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. God is to be reverenced. God is a God that is to be reverenced not just with our words, but with our life, with our actions. Look down at verse 21. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Listen, Leave your enemies in the hands of God, those that are against you. Let God deal with them. Don't let the devil have place in your life. Don't allow anger. Don't allow resentment to take hold of your heart, or bitterness or unforgiveness against someone who's done you wrong. Give God the proper place in your heart and life by worshiping the Lord and forgiving others and allowing God to deal with those that may be against you, have mistreated you. But we as God's people are to give ourselves to what we've been created to do, and that is to worship God, to seek after God, to spend time with the Lord, and to allow the Lord to have his way with us. Looking at, very lastly, verse 22. Verse 22 is a wonderful verse. The verse says, "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." Again, we will not be empty. We will not lack anything. "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." I believe many of God's people are desolate because they're not trusting in the Lord. When we trust in the Lord, we find that we are fulfilled. We find that we're full. We find that our shepherd, the great shepherd, leads us like a flock. Look at Psalm 23 very quickly. As David writes Psalm 23, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As a child of God, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life because you serve a good God. You serve a good God who's worthy of your worship and praise, who does hear you when you cry out to him, whether out loud or in your heart. You think about Hannah, who went to the temple and cried unto the Lord, and her lips were moving, but no words were coming out, and she was accused of being drunk by the priest Eli. And yet she said, "I'm not drunk. I am just someone who's pouring out their heart to the Lord." Now, there are times where maybe you can't verbally, speak your prayer to the Lord, but the Lord knows what's in your heart. But again, to worship and to praise God should be verbally. It should be out loud, because again, it will cause somebody else to wonder, what's it all about? You think about the time of season that we're in, again, Christmas. You know what? To ask somebody, "Hey, what are your plans for Christmas? What are you guys doing?" And they tell you, and then you're able to tell them what you do and what it means to you. We don't always have to wait for someone to ask of the hope that lies within us. We can just put it out there. Ask them a question and then let them know what Christmas is all about. Let them know how you celebrate Christmas. It is because of our Redeemer. "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." Again, as we think about the Christmas season, we think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that he came to give life and to give it more abundantly. There are many things to be thankful for, many things to worship the Lord about. Don't let it be during the holidays. Again, I believe we're living in the end times. We're living in the times the Bible talks about. I believe that right now there's a dry run for the mark of the beast. I believe there are many things being put into place. And again, I can't put a time on it when the Lord will return, but he will return. May he find us faithfully worshiping him, faithfully praising him, faithfully following him, faithfully being that example that we are to be and telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful time it would be when the rapture happens. I would love it to be when we're all in church praising the Lord, and we all are caught up in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air and all the saints of God. But what a wonderful thing it would be that if at the moment that we are telling someone about Christ and they're calling upon the name of the Lord, that we're caught up together, you and that person that you're talking to, because they've put their faith and trust in Christ. There may be some that are like that. The Bible says, Jesus said that two will be grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. Two in the bed, one taken, one left. I mean, when the rapture happens, there's nothing we can do about it. Let's continue to worship God with our life. Continue to let God have his way with us. Continue trusting the Lord and being used by the Lord. We do have a great opportunity. The end is not fearful. You know, when I bring up things like the mark of the beast or things, you know, just that are going on in the world, it's nothing to scare us. It's things that are in the Bible. The Bible tells us the end times will be rough and tough. It's going to get worse in this world before Christ comes because the devil knows that his time is limited. He knows that he's not going to have the reign that he has forever. And the one thing he wants to do is keep God's people from being joyous, to keep God's people from worshiping him, to keep God's people from trusting him and faithfully following him. Don't get the devil what he wants. Give him what he deserves. And that is worship to God. That is faithfulness to God so that he's reminded that he's a defeated foe. That God's given us the perfect gift, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ.